video really spoke to me when I watched it this week. On Thursday morning, I was doing my, just daily reading. I challenge you maybe in 2018 to read through the Bible in a year. It'll change your life, man. When you open up the Bible and you're reading it, it's God talking to you. It's God teaching you. It's the Spirit of God taking the things of God and make them known to you. So Thursday morning I was reading and I was in Ecclesiastes and I read these verses. And it's like, I felt like the Spirit is telling me, it's church family Sunday. The kids are going to be in there, man. The kids are going to be in them. You have to share these verses with them. And it was Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. This is for you children today. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know. I love that but. That's a big but there, man. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Do whatever you want to do, man. Do whatever you see. Do whatever you think about. Do whatever you do. But know for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. And I thought to myself, vexation, what's that? I looked it up and it said the act of vexing. So I looked up vexing and it said to irritate or annoy or provoke or to torment or trouble or distress. Put all those things away from you. Then I thought, and I usually don't look up the message. I usually don't get into the message. But I thought, what does the message say for those two verses? You who are young, make the most of your youth. You who are young, make the most of your youth. Relish your youthful vigor. Follow the impulses of your heart. If something looks good to you, pursue it. And here we got that big but again. But know also that none, just anything goes. Not just anything goes. You have to answer to God for every last bit of it. Every decision, everything you do in your life. Live footloose and fancy free. You won't be young forever. Youth lasts about as long as smoke. I thought that was cool. I thought that was very cool. And then the last two verses in Ecclesiastes, this is for all of us, man. If you wanted a bottom line scripture for your life, I mean, these two verses says it all. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's from God's Word from the book of Ecclesiastes. Today I'm starting a series called Isn't There More to Christmas? And you see that card right there. That really, I think, Elizabeth put together. Maybe Melissa and Caleb were a part of it. There will be 20, well, my name won't be on there, but there will be 2,500 cards delivered through Vistaprint to the area zip codes with that on it. And then on the back, we'll have our church name and, you know, when Christmas Eve services, we're going to have it in the morning because it's Sunday this year. And you know, pray that those cards make a difference when people look in their mailbox and we're hoping people see it that don't have a church home and they'll say, man, let me check this church out, man. That's a pretty cool little dog. It looks like Charlie, Caleb's and Julie's dog. That's why we put it on there. And then one night the teenagers are going to take like 300 of those cards and deliver them door to door. Thank you for doing that. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So the series is, Isn't There More to Christmas? And how can Jesus meet our greatest needs? How can Jesus meet our greatest needs? And for the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about those needs. And really today, the need is, and you can see the title is, our need for contentment. Very huge. I read there's an historian named Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr. I love that they had a junior. Observes that none of our society is marked by inextinguishable discontent. Our society is marked by that. He said our quest is for better and that which comes next. We want a better job. We want better pay, a better boss. We want better relationships, a better car, a better backhand in tennis, a longer drive in golf. We might want a better kitchen. And we have the propensity in America to live endlessly for the next thing. The next weekend, the next vacation, the next purchase, the next experience. We're never satisfied. He writes, we're never content and we're envious of those who have what we have not obtained or accumulated. Many children struggle with discontentment during the Christmas holiday. And I read about this scenario. Let me give you the scenario, parents, and tell me whether it's true or not. If two siblings receive 5 gifts each, they will be excited with their own gifts for a little while. After some time has passed, one or both of the children will begin to covet some things that the sister or brother has. Children will tend to meander away from being thankful for what was provided them and work their way over to what was given to another. They will begin the process of elimination, being dissatisfied with what they themselves have been given. Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi. He said this, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Then in verse 11, he says, not that I am speaking of being in great need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I would like everybody to read that last statement. Start with, I have learned. Let's read it together. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, he says. I know how to abound. I know in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. If you have your Bible open, underline that word, secret, because I hope to answer that today. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Today, I want to talk about contentment. I have 4 points for you today that I hope you think about, and I'm hoping that they will impact your life. The first point is this. Contentment knows that if we have Jesus, we have enough. Probably the most important word you'll ever fill in, you're listening, God, is the word Jesus. How could Paul make that bold statement in those verses in Philippians about contentment? Because Paul knew that contentment lies not in what he has, but whose he is. Think about that. When we come into a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, we understand that we are whose we are and what we have. A lack of contentment, ladies and gentlemen, causes us to look horizontally at what others have, and we're never satisfied. But contentment invites us to look vertically at God. Think about that. So a lack of contentment causes us to look horizontally. Contentment invites us to look vertically at God. When we look in His direction, regardless of our possessions or our status, we know that He's enough. One of my heroes in the faith is obviously Tony Evans. I've told you that many times. He wrote this, "The covetous person, particularly the one who has become a materialist, will soon discover that money can buy you a bed, but not sleep. Money can give you books, but not brains. Money can give you a house, but not a home. Money can give you food, but not friends. Contentment is the secret to inward peace." Please understand that. If we could remember the stark truth that what we brought in that we brought nothing into the world and we're not going to take anything out of it either. Life, in fact, is a pilgrimage of one moment, and I hope it's all right if I use this word on Church Family Sunday. Life, in fact, is a pilgrimage of one moment of nakedness to another. So we should travel light and live simply. Our enemy really is not possessions. Our enemy is excess. Our battle cry is not nothing, but our battle cry should be enough. We've got enough. Jesus is enough. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So point one says contentment knows that if we have Jesus, we have enough. Point number two is contentment is learned by realizing that we are blessed. And it's a great season to think about that. Contentment is really learned, I think. It's not natural. We're not born with it. It's not a gift we're given. Our tendency really is to look for things that will make us content. Those things that are better or those events that are next, rather than putting the effort in it takes to learn how to be content. Think about this. Anybody ever go skiing? Way back in 1986, Kathy and I brought seven teenagers to this lodge to go skiing. And I had never skied before, you know. But I didn't really want to learn how to ski. I just wanted to get on the slope and go down. And boy, I'll never forget that, man. Going down that slope on skis, had no idea how to stop. I'm screaming, "Get out of the way, get out of the way." I'm running all around. It was horrible. But think about it. When you first go onto that ski slope, do you really want to learn how to ski? Or you just want to go down the mountain like everyone else on that slope that you saw when you first arrived at the lodge? But skiing isn't like that. And neither is becoming content. It takes willingness and effort to learn anything. We just can't wish things into existence. Contentment is no different. It must be learned. Paul learned how to be content. Then I saw this story about a leper on the island of Tobago also learned contentment. A short-term missionary met her on a missions trip. On that final day, he was leading worship in a leper colony. And he asked if anyone had a favorite song. And when he did, a woman turned around. And he saw the most disfigured face he had ever seen. She had no ears, no nose. Her lips were gone. But she raised a fingerless hand and asked, "Could we sing Count Your Many Blessings?" And the missionary started the song, but couldn't really finish it. And someone later commented, "I suppose you'll never be able to sing that song again." And he answered, "No, I'll sing it again, just never the same way." Hebrews 13:5, the writer of Hebrews says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Point number one, contentment knows that if we have Jesus, we have enough. Point number two is contentment is learned by realizing that we're blessed. Point number three, contentment resides in the heart. If you notice those verses I read in Ecclesiastes early, the word heart was in there three times. Contentment really isn't about one's feelings, about wanting and desiring what he or she can have, but instead it really exhibits freedom from being controlled by those feelings. C.S. Lewis said on a letter January 31st, 1917, wasn't living then, "Nobody who gets enough food and clothing in a world where most are hungry and cold has any business to talk about misery." C.S. Lewis wrote in a poem in 1949, wasn't living then either. He said, "Of obtainable longings, sour is the fruit." I had to think about that for a while. It's a powerful statement. Contentment isn't pretending things are right when they're not, but instead it displays a peace that comes from knowing that God is bigger than any problems and He works them all out for His good. Contentment isn't a feeling of well-being dependent upon keeping circumstances under control, but instead it promotes a joy in spite of circumstances, looking to God who never varies. Let's read this next one together. Contentment is not based on external circumstances, but rather on an internal source. Think about it. Contentment is of the heart. The majorities of the people in society are like thermometers. They suffer from pseudo-happiness, a counterfeit high that quickly evaporates. And then I saw this. They hope the next superficial satisfaction will last, but external happiness is like cotton candy. It's sweet for a moment and dissolves an instant later. Think about it. A person who is happy is vacationing in Maui is really a person who only has a few days to be happy. But a person who has learned to cultivate a deep down contentment will be a consistently joyful person wherever they are. Joyful wherever they are. Most people thirst for what the Apostle Paul had, enduring contentment, a deep down soul satisfying contentment. That kind of contentment can only come from within. Paul wrote to his protege Timothy this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." That's your fill-in word on the front page of the listening guide. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with these things we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Contentment is always an inside job. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of you, not what's going on the outside. It has only one source, and that source is found in that soul satisfying relationship with our Heavenly Father that cares for us and promises to meet us where we are. So if you want to know about contentment, point number one is contentment knows if we have Jesus, we have enough. Number two is contentment is learned by realizing that we're blessed. Point number three, contentment resides in the heart. And the last point today, contentment finds its sufficiency in Christ. Those things that we expect to bring contentment surprisingly do not. We cannot depend upon contentment to fall into our laps from education or money or status, because contentment arises from a divine source that money and material possessions cannot purchase. Think about it. The secret of contentment is hidden from the casual observer. And what is the secret? Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, "I'm able to do all things through Him who strengthens me." The term content suggests self-sufficiency. But in the context of this text here in Philippians 4:10-13, it means being at peace with Christ's sufficiency. When His powerful presence is consuming us, we can do all things. Christ really hasn't given us unlimited strength, but we can experience contentment because we are continual recipients of supernatural strength. Ecclesiastes 5:15, "As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again. Naked as he came in, he shall take nothing for his toil, that he may carry it away in his hand." our human determination may help us to endure adversity and pain. Our emotional toughness will get us through a job loss or financial hardships. But really, only Christ can generate a contented spirit within us amidst it all that's happening around us. The writer of Proverbs 30 said this in verses 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. So really today I want to close and tell you that contentment is learning the lesson that Jesus is enough. If you know Jesus, you have a God who hears you, the power of love behind you, the Holy Spirit within you, and all of heaven ahead of you. If you have Jesus, you have grace for every sin, direction for every turn, a candle for every corner, an anchor for every storm. You have everything you need. You have more than enough. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned whatever situation I am to be content. If the ushers want to come forward in the band, I know how to be brought low. Paul said, I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things here through him who strengthens me. And before I close and pray for the offering, is there anybody here today that would like to know or feel or understand and experience that kind of contentment? The altars will be open for you today. That kind of contentment that knows hope during bad times, that understands that Christ is there for you, to understand that when you give glory in our circumstances, he gives us perseverance and proven character and hope. Father, I ask you to bless the rest of our service today. Thank you for the wonderful worship, Father. Thank you for having Chelsea Nick here today as the first time as a married couple. That moves me, Father. Thank you that we can come and worship you here on this Sunday after Thanksgiving and talk about contentment. Talk about how you can fill that need for us with contentment. We have to learn to be contented. We're not born with it. We're born with wanting more. But we know with Jesus we have everything we need, Father. So I ask you to bless our offering today, Father. I pray that you bless those people to give in a mighty way, Father. And I ask you to bless everyone here today, Father. Give them a hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Give them a hunger and thirst to pray and to seek you and to get into your word. Father, I challenge us to read through the Bible in the year 2018, because I'm telling you, I know it'll bless our socks off. It'll show us things and teach us things and give us more hope and understand what faith is, Father. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Father, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, give us a hunger for your word this next year, Father. Give us a hunger to know that there's so much more to the word Christmas, that it's about Christ. And it's about him coming and dying on the cross for our sins, Father. And I pray that someone in here today is looking for contentment and need contentment and wanting hope for you, Father. I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.